The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 908. It's the 27th of October, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Nick DiFiore, General Manager of the Automotive Group at Seeing Machines. That's SEE ticker. And Nick gives an update on the business and highlights the recent regulatory developments with regards to drive monitoring. Also on the podcast, Nick Stevens, CEO of Stonechecker, which is fully owned by Flying Brands, FBDU, discusses their recent operational update. Also, John Forster, CEO of recently listed Kora Gold, that's C-O-R-A, describes their gold discovery and prospects in Mali and Senegal. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Nick DiFiore, General Manager of the Automotive Group at Seeing Machines, that's S-E-E ticker. Nick, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
It's good to have you on, and we'll get into some questions and specifics in a bit. But before we do, can you explain for people that are new to the podcast or not heard of your company before, who is Seeing Machines? What do you do? What kind of markets do you serve, Nick?
Well, in short, our company is about a technology that enables machines to see, understand, and assist people. And we do this through very specially designed cameras combined with, you know, AI-based machine vision, where we precisely identify and track a person's head position, eyelid movements, gaze direction. And we do this under a full range of lighting conditions, even through sunglasses or in complete darkness. And this allows us to ultimately extract important real-time information about a person, for instance, whether they're alert or they're tired, whether they're attentive to a task or they're distracted or where their attention is focused. And there's very wide range of applications for our technology, but our current focus really is operator monitoring for various transportation markets. You know, and this includes automotive, trucking, rail, and aviation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can you explain what sort of driver monitoring is and why it's important in automotive, please?
Sure. So driver monitoring really is all about safety. And there's really two aspects of that in automotive. One aspect is really focused on making drivers better drivers, which has been the focus of advanced driver assistance systems known as ADAS, right, that really penetrated the automobile very rapidly in recent years. These are systems like lane departure warning or collision warning or even automatic emergency braking. Our driver monitoring solution really helps to make these systems more effective by allowing the vehicle to understand the driver's state. For example, if you, Justin, as the driver, are distracted, say you're reaching for your cell phone, an earlier warning would be helpful in the case of another car braking in front of you. On the other hand, if you're completely focused on the driving task and your eyes are on the road, then really fewer alerts are more appropriate. And, you know, the research has shown that fewer false alerts also make it less likely that, you know, these important safety features are going to get ignored over time or maybe even switched off by users. So the second aspect, safety aspect, is all about this transition we're seeing now to more automated driving, right? Mm-hmm. Here there's a need for the vehicle to really understand the driver's attention state to make sure the driver remains alert and attentive enough for the capability of the system, right? So you may have heard these systems are classified from levels 1 to 5. 5 meaning a driver's never required. The vehicle can always drive itself. And what we're seeing today are level 2 cars on the road now, and we expect to see level 3 cars soon. And, you know, these systems are cool. They allow for hands-free driving under the right conditions. Say, for example, freeway driving in good weather. but they also rely on the driver as a co-pilot, and the driver needs to stay attentive enough to take back control of the vehicle under any number of circumstances, for example, like exiting a freeway. Mm-hmm. So it's generally not appropriate in these systems to allow a driver to, say, watch a movie on their phone or to even fall asleep, right? So our driver monitoring technology provides a reliable means for the system to judge if the driver's attentive enough, or maybe alert the driver to be more attentive if needed, or even in some cases guide the vehicle to a safe stop if the driver's unwilling or unable to take back control of the vehicle.
Yeah, I suppose when you get these semi-automated cars, the driver is more likely to fall asleep, even though they're needed, because you're doing less, and so you're concentrating less, isn't it, really?
Exactly. And so the point of our system is to really have the car know what's going on with the driver. That's becoming very important.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, could you explain sort of, you know, how this fits in with sort of recent regulatory developments in regards to drive monitoring in Europe and in America?
Sure, Justin. Yeah, there's actually been some recent reports by both Euro NCAP. NCAP is the new car assessment program. This is where there's the rating of safety, right? A star rating of each car model in Europe. And the other body that's spoken out recently was the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board. These are the guys that investigate accidents and make regulatory recommendations. And both of these recent activities with these two groups are pretty relevant to our technology and our business. On the Euro NCAP side, they released what they call their 2025 Vision Zero Roadmap. They released this at the Frankfurt Motor Show this year. And their ultimate goal is eliminating all automotive accidents, okay? Mm-hmm. And the first in their list of new technologies is actually driver monitoring. And they're targeting starting to incorporate that into their safety ratings in 2020, which really is right around the corner based on automotive timescales, right? And they state the need for effective detection of driver distraction and drowsiness as two of the really key safety benefits of driver monitoring, and also comment on the potential of driver monitoring technology to increase the effectiveness, right, of existing ADAS systems. Because we can dynamically determine, you know, a changing driver state, right, in real time. In the case of the NTSB report, that was released in September, I believe it was, that was the result of an intensive investigation into a fatal car accident in the U.S. that was tied to the use of an autopilot system in a car, mm-hmm. where the system failed to identify another vehicle crossing the road, and it caused a fatal collision. And the NTSB there concluded that a significant contributor to the accident was the driver's over-reliance on the autopilot feature and his prolonged disengagement from the driving task. They don't really know what he was doing, if he was sleeping or reading or what, but this prompted the NTSB to recommend that all manufacturers of level 2 vehicles, like the one that was investigated, actually incorporate driver monitoring going forward that can identify and alert drivers, right, if their attention level's lacking when an automated driving system is in use. So these are some examples of the regulatory environment we're starting to see now.
Yeah, so how does this apply to seeing machines today?
Well, look, I say the best example is the recently released Super Cruise system in the GM Cadillac CT6. Just launched in the U.S. Super Cruise is very cool. It's a completely hands-free driving system, debatably a level 2 or a level 3 autonomous system. It's designed for use on freeways, and that system uses our Seeing Machines driver monitoring technology in actually exactly the way that the NTSB has recommended to make sure that the driver stays alert enough that the system is safe. And if the driver can't for some reason retake control of the vehicle, maybe becomes incapacitated, the vehicle can come to a safe stop on its own. And so, you know, while GM is certainly an industry leader in this regard, we at Seeing Machines are actively engaged with a number of automotive tier one suppliers and OEMs that are really headed in a similar direction, looking at the use of our technology. Well, both actually for automated driving and this driver assistance system enhancement. And, you know, a good example of our growing tier one partnerships is the one we recently actually jointly announced with Autoliv. Mm-hmm. Autoliv's a global industry leader in automotive safety systems. And they announced that they're focused on developing highly integrated safety and driver assistance systems that are going to use our Fovea driver monitoring technology. So those are some examples of the activity, the traction we're seeing with customers and tier one partners today.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Nick, well, listen, if anyone's, you know, listening to this right now and they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Sure, Justin. Well, first I would just point out that Seeing Machines is relatively new to Vox Markets, and those who want to get to know us are going to really see an increasing news flow now, as we're really reaching an inflection point in demand for our technology, really across all of our focus segments, not just automotive. And so, second, I guess I would say, look, following us is highly topical. If you are someone who follows the recent kind of red-hot automotive technology race, right, particularly with respect to automated driving or autonomous vehicles, you're definitely going to want to follow us as part of that. And finally, I guess I would say I think many of our listeners would be very interested in the momentum that's gathering across our entire business, not just automotive. That includes commercial fleet adoption with our aftermarket Guardian solution, the railway market, where our operator monitoring system helps ensure safe train operation. We've just had a recent agreement with the global leader in rail, Progress Rail. And I guess finally, aviation, as we start to showcase the work we've been doing there in terms of pilot monitoring with some of the more progressive airline operators like Emirates.
Excellent stuff. Well, Nick, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Nick Stevens, CEO of Stone Checker, which is fully owned by Flying Brands. That's FBDU ticker. Nick, thanks for coming on the podcast again.
No problem, Justin.
Now, you've had a bit of an update on business operations, and we'll get to the detail on that in a bit. But before we do, for people not aware of stone checking, can you explain what it's all about, please?
Sure. Okay, so kidney stones, they're incredibly painful. They get diagnosed on a CT scan, and then the patient gets treated by a surgeon with something called lithotripsy, which is sound waves, actually, rather like when sound waves break a wine glass, the same principle a kidney stone can break. Problem is that almost a third of the stones don't break, and the doctor has to try three times over three consecutive visits to the hospital, and then it doesn't break and they have to go to surgery. We have a software which looks at the CT scan of the stone and tells the doctor how likely it is that that stone will break, and can tell the doctor that there are certain stones that almost certainly won't break. This saves time, energy, pain for the patient. They go straight to surgery and get treated successfully earlier. So that's the basis of the product.
Yeah, but you can see how much money that'll save, because you imagine, you know, the cost of bringing something in, doing that surgery, like you say, trying to break the stone down, it's not working a couple of times. And so we're all aware of kidney stones. So, I mean, do you know how much the market size is, the potential here, Nick?
Well, it depends how you measure it, of course, but essentially, however you measure it, it's huge. So 80,000 people in the UK have kidney stones. So there's something like almost 300,000 episodes. Multiply that by 5 for the US, another 5 for China. India is a huge market. The incidence is higher in the countries that are drier, where, you know, hydration for people is more challenging. So essentially a huge market. And then if you measure that in terms of social impact, time off work, almost half of the patients get kidney stones back. So it's a huge burden. The estimate is $8 billion in US terms. So it's huge.
Wow. So that's how much it costs, $8 billion, what, a year, is it?
Yeah, that's right. That includes all of the social costs of lost earnings, etc. But if we narrow down just to health services, like, say, just inside the UK for the NHS, we're looking at somewhere in the region of around 80 to 100 million a year. So we think we can make some very considerable savings. Not just in the cost of the actual lithotripsy procedure, but also in time for the urologists and time for the radiologists who look at the CT scan.
Wow. Okay. And so let's get to the bit of news you had, an update. I mean, so before we get into that, at what stage are you at right now, Nick?
Okay, so we have the what we call the composite score, which is how likely it is that the stone will break. Mm-hmm. And that's been worked with a group from Oxford University and Peking University in China. So we have that. We've started manufacturing. We've tested a prototype. And what's great news for us is the response that we've had from the testing of the prototype, which has slightly surprised us, but also delighted us. So we should have a CE mark for the product by the early part of December.
Okay, and what does that mean? A CE mark, to explain that for people not aware of a CE mark, what does that mean?
It means that we can begin commercial sales in Europe.
Okay, all right. So the prototype testing, you had a bit of a nice surprise. So take us through what happened.
Okay, so we are selling a composite score of how likely it is that the stone will break. Mm-hmm. And to do that, the doctors who look at the CT scan, the radiologist, has to collect some data from the scan. It doesn't take them long. In fact, it takes them less time than they use at the moment. So the sort of thing they have to do for the urologist who's going to treat the patient is they have to tell the urologist what's the distance from the patient's skin surface down to the stone. Mm-hmm. And then some other information to do with the shape and size of the stone and its position in the kidney. So that takes the radiologist a little bit of time to prepare, and they have to use tools to like measure that distance on the image. So we need that data for the production of our composite score. So what we did was we provide little displays of the information, like distance to skin down to the stone, and we do that automatically with the software. What we didn't realize was the radiologists were suddenly saying to us, wow, you know, that's actually saved me time. All I need to do is to click on the stone. I don't have to draw lines or make measurements. So basically, we're saving the radiologist time. The other thing was that the maps that we're drawing of something called Hounsfield units, which I won't talk about too much, but they're potentially useful for the urologist to target where to hit the stone. Those maps were surprisingly useful to the radiologist. So essentially what's happened is that we've collected and displayed and made easy the collection of this data so that they can derive the composite score without realizing that in itself showing this data is going to save them time as well as providing interesting information for the urologist. So really we were just, you know, kind of delighted that that we wouldn't just have to go forward selling the stone score, but actually the software in itself is attractive, and hopefully we get sales simply through the displays that we have in the software.
Wow, that's good news then, isn't it? And like you said, and essentially, though, commerciality is hopefully going to start, what, at the end of this year or start of next year or when?
Yeah, yes. So once we have a CE mark, we can start selling the software. So we're looking to make sales in the January, February, March, Q1.
Excellent stuff. And like I say, you know, that's when you consider Flying Brand at the moment is a sub 2 million market cap, it doesn't take a lot to move the needle there. So, any movement would be good. Excellent, Nick. Well, listen, if anyone's listening to this right now and they like the sound of this, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
There aren't many products that can improve outcomes and save time at the same time, and that's the first reason for why this software is going to be successful. I think the second one is that we can expand our business into kidney stones and providing other information such as how to automatically calculate software to prevent stones, or we can go into radiology, artificial intelligence, and develop the business in that way. So the business is going to grow. And then third, we have a small but very effective management team. So we're confident that we will exploit these opportunities coming into the future.
Okay, excellent stuff. Before we go, Nick, I mean, as far as competition is concerned, do you have much in that way?
No, we are the first. So we are very delighted that there are research groups around the world looking particularly at stone texture and how to get automatic results from CT scans. So there are four or five groups that are publishing work, but they're academic groups, and they then provide a perfect opportunity for us to give them our software to be reference centers. So we think we're definitely first and ahead of all competitors.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Good to chat to you. And, you've got an exciting next couple of months ahead. So hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future.
Thanks very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Forster, CEO of Cora Gold. Ticker there is C-O-R-A or Cora. John, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Now, you're recently listed, I think it's start of October. So I assume a lot of people may not have heard of you. So, John, can you give us a brief background as to what Cora is all about and where you're headed?
Yeah, Cora Gold is a gold exploration company focused in Mali in West Africa on very productive gold belts. There are three key elements to Cora. First of all, we have a gold discovery in the company already, and that has standalone mine potential. We call that Sanankoro. Secondly, we have a group of projects that lie within trucking distance of existing mines, and those are going to be drilled with the objective of trying to identify deposits within trucking distance of mines and lead us towards fast track towards cash flow. And then thirdly, we have an exploration team and a board of directors that has done it before, extremely experienced in Africa. Myself and my team, we've been operating in Africa for over 25 years in the junior exploration sector, and we've had several discoveries that have become mines, and we believe that given our team on the ground as well, that are Malian and have worked with us for 20 years, that between us we have a very professional and efficient means of operating in Mali.
Yeah, okay. And like I said, you recently listed on the 9th of October on AIM. So what's your intentions on listing, John?
The objective at listing was to really expand our exploration. We've been a private company for several years, very strong shareholder support. But those shareholders, we recognize that we've reached a stage with our exploration that we've got to expand and accelerate our exploration. And as part and parcel of the this year's progress in the company, we've vended in some additional projects which came from Hummingbird Resources, non-core assets to their mine project, but they fit very well within our portfolio. And with this additional exposure to the exploration, it gives us the opportunity to broaden our shareholder base and really position ourselves to really accelerate that exploration and take us towards what we believe, with the discovery we have, the ability to move forward towards defining a standalone mining operation.
Understand. And it looks like you're moving forward quite quickly here, because you've been listed less than a month and you've already appointed a drilling contractor. Can you tell us, give us a bit of detail on this, please, John?
Yes, this is a 15,000 metre drilling programme that we're targeting. It should be starting at the end of November. As you say, we've signed the contract with the group now. And that drilling is going to focus at the Sanankoro project. And the objective of the drilling is to not only follow up on the ore body that's been found, the discovery that's been made, but actually expand it and identify the potential for defining resources along what is a very large length of mineralization. So that program will take us into to defining the scale of the project.
Understood. And so just, I know you sort of half covered it here, but just to reiterate for people listening, you're a new company, so what can we expect, like, say, in the next 6 to 12 months and a bit further down the line, say 12 to 18 months, John?
Yeah, certainly over the next 6 to 12 months, our exploration program is very much focused on taking the core discovery and expanding it. We have, as I said, a 14-kilometre long zone to follow up that historically has been proven to contain gold mineralization along its length through shallow exploration drilling. So we'll go out there and expand the discovery, and that we hope to conclude in the next 9 to 12 months. The next stage after that, we will be returning in more detail to start building the resources around the discoveries.
Excellent stuff. Okay, John, well, if someone's listening right now and likes the sound of this project, and they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, which is pretty highly likely because you're brand new to AIM, could you give them three reasons as to why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
First of all, we have a discovery in the company, and its potential in the future to become a standalone mine. So we're talking about large-scale exploration here, significant resource potential. Secondly, we have projects that sit around existing mines. This gives us an opportunity for early cash flow if we can turn those discoveries into resources. Thirdly, we have a very experienced board and management team who worked in Africa for many years, have had success with discoveries, turned discoveries into mines in the past. And importantly, that group of individuals have a strong position on the shareholder register, and have been buying new shares both at the IPO and post-IPO in the market. So there's very strong support from management itself, from our board, and also from our existing shareholders, which does include Hummingbird Resources on our share register, and they have also provided very good support for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, Hummingbird are no stranger to the podcast. They've been on several times, and I know they're a very popular company there, so well followed on Vox Market. So the fact that they have about 34%, I think, of shares, don't they, I think?
That's correct. Yeah. So they do give us very good support.
Yeah, well, that speaks volumes, I think. John, it's good to have you on, and like I said, you seem to be moving quite quickly on progress there. So hopefully we'll chat in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Angus Energy, ANGS. At four, Online, ONL. It's risen by a ridiculous amount today, about 300%, because it's changed its name from Online to Online Blockchain. It's like the dot-com boom, you know, when that happened. Companies didn't really have a direction or strategy. What they used to do was just change the name to something .com, add .com to the end, and it would double overnight. Ridiculous. I'm not saying that's what's happening there, but it seems to have happened there. At three, Greatland Gold, GGP. At two, UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. And number one most followed company was Vast Resources, VAST. Okay, top five most liked RNSs were as follows. At five, Management Resource Solutions. Mrs. is the ticker, Holdings and Company. At four, Rehobold Resources, RBD, Holdings and Company. At 3, Greatland Gold, GGP, exercise of warrants. At 2, Metal Tiger, MTR, investment update. And number one most liked RNS on Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours was from SDX Energy. That's SDX ticker, spud of KSR15 development well in Morocco. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.